Welcome to our Sunday message, Sunday the 8th of June 2025. We'll read a scripture from the Old Testament to get started. Proverbs 25 verse 28. Proverbs 25 verse 28 reads simply, "Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls." Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. From the New Testament, we just read again 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from verse 4 to 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 4 to 8. "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails." Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious word. Once again, thank you for what it means to us. Help us, Lord, to rightly divide it. Thank you that no force of darkness will stop this word from entering into our hearts, changing our minds, and changing us. We thank you for this ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for his help. In the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen. We are now going to be doing the last fruit of the Holy Spirit that is listed in Galatians chapter 5, and that fruit is self-control. Now, one thing we have been stressing is that all these fruit are interconnected. And the truth of the matter is that if you and I do not have self-control, all these other fruit will be unattainable. We need to have a clear understanding how this all works together and what it is that we can do. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit, and true, the Holy Spirit helps us. But on the other side of the coin, we have to do our part. We have to bring our part to the table. That scripture in Proverbs is about self-control, and it states that if somebody cannot rule their own spirit, they are like a city without walls. You can imagine a city in olden times where it was perilous and people gathered in cities for protection more than anything else. If that city doesn't have a proper wall of defense, it will be broken down, broken into, it won't get anywhere. And as Christians, we need to realize that without self-control, the devil can walk all over us. And he does. Now, please note something. This self-control is self-control. We're not talking about a strong-willed person in the sense of somebody that controls everybody else. When you and I get involved in the process of trying to control other people, that is a pathway to witchcraft. And that's the very definition of the occult, controlling. However, when we talk about self-control, we're talking about having dominion over our own being, our own spirit, our own soul, our own natural impulses. You'll notice that as we stated right at the beginning, that definition of love, the primary fruit of the Holy Spirit, expresses things that it doesn't do. And for those things not to be done by you and I, it takes self-control. To suffer long, as we were talking about it in the past, macrotumio, takes self-control. Not seeking our own takes self-control. Not to be provoked takes self-control. Not to think evil takes self-control. Not to rejoice in iniquity, once again, takes self-control. All these things require self-control. In other words, our natural human makeup would automatically behave in a certain way that love does not. It makes a choice. Now, you see, if we don't have control over ourselves, we will not be able to make that choice. Now, many people might say, oh, well, I just couldn't help myself. And that might be true. But you see, with the things of God, what might be the situation now doesn't have to stay that way. Remember, God never asks you and I to do anything that we can't do. So if he says to us, listen, love inside of you does not behave rudely, doesn't, as it were, lose its cool, blow its fuse. That means that no matter what our temperament is, we can do that. We can control ourselves. Now, we need to have some understanding here. We are not talking about willpower alone. This is so important to grasp. This is not a case of just having a strong will. However, on the other side of the coin, it's not a case of just having a weak will and expecting God to do something. There's something we have to grasp here. You see, as human beings, we might say, well, I'm a very weak person. And to be honest, that's a good confession in the sense of we being honest. But the truth of the matter is, you and I might not be able to control ourselves. We might have a weak will to start with, but that can change. And it is God that helps us to change it. But I need to explain something, how you and I can work on it. In the book of Deuteronomy, that's the second book that Moses wrote to the Israelites, just as they were going into the promised land. By the Spirit of God, he knew what was coming, but he was explaining to them how God had brought them there. In chapter 7, verse 22 and 23, it speaks about God will drive out these nations before you little by little. You will be unable to destroy them at once. But the Lord your God will deliver them over to you and will inflict defeat upon them until they are destroyed. Now there's a balance here. You see, the Lord does it, but we have a part to play. And the emphasis here is that sometimes we have issues in our lives that to start off with are too big for us. The key to overcoming these things is to gradually strengthen our will. Just think of a weight lifter. Now imagine a person goes to the gym and they are very emaciated, perhaps because of disease or whatever, and they want to build their body up. The worst thing they can do is try and lift 20, 50 kgs. What would be the right thing to do? Start with small weights and build up. You and I need to understand that our will is like a muscle. If we're honest enough to confess that we are now weak in our willpower, the starting point is to choose battles that we can fight. I was listening to an interview of a politician the other evening, and the interviewer was asking him about problems that were in his political party, which he was aware of, and asked him, "Aren't you going to do something about these problems?" His answer was, not at the moment. At the moment, I have to just deal with one issue at a time. I have to pick my battles wisely. Pick our battles wisely. Now, how this translates in your and my life is this. You see, the key is to train ourselves to become disciplined. The world system encourages us to be totally ill-disciplined. Do as we please. By now, I'm sure we've realized in the kingdom of God, that's not how it works. We have to do as He pleases, and as we continue in that, it becomes what is pleasing to us, as we have explained. But you see, what does it mean to choose your battles wisely? Well, you see, If we have a problem with our willpower, not being able to control our temper or do things like that, the starting point is to choose some discipline that we can do. For example, we might say, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to read my Bible for half an hour a day or 10 minutes. Can you see? That's a starting point. Now you might say, well, anybody can do that. Yes, they can. The moment you and I start to do things like that, you'll be amazed how the enemy tries to stop you. Why? You see, if we have a battle in a small area, it leads to a bigger victory. So it's up to each individual to be honest with themselves and to get with the program. It might start off with a Bible reading. It might start off with reading the Bible from 10 minutes a day to maybe half an hour a day, and then to praying for 10 minutes a day, a regular routine. That's the first battle. Now, I need to explain something here. We need to realize that we are fighting against a supernatural force. The devil is very happy for you and I not to be able to control ourselves. If he can have a Christian on hand who is unable to control himself, he can wreak absolute havoc in any situation. And it's happened and continues to happen. It's got to stop. But you see, this is a spiritual battle, and our will is not enough to win the battle. However, as we have been explaining, our job is to use our will to focus on the Word of God. The Word of God, with the help of the Holy Spirit, will give us the victory. But we have to fight the battle to get our attention onto the Word. That's the real battle. That's why my suggestion that a starting point is a reading of the Word, a regular reading of the Word. The next discipline would be a regular time of prayer, just chatting to the Lord, just speaking to Him, no matter how long it is. But you see, the key here is to choose a battle that you can manage and work on it until it becomes part of our lifestyle. The strange thing is, as we win these battles, perhaps we say, well, I've never been able to read my Bible. Well, you get it, 2, 10 minutes, half an hour a day. It becomes part of your whole life. The Bible speaks about giving the Word attention, paying attention to the Word. It's very much like you're going to a meeting and somebody says, won't you come with me? I want to go and do some shopping. You wouldn't think of that. You say, I would like to go shopping, but I must go and pay attention to the Word. You see, that is a starting point. A time of prayer, a time of the Word. That's the starting discipline. But obviously, that's very much like lifting a barbell without any weights on it. Now we've got to add a few weights. And you see, the whole point is we are training up our will. In the past, our will would say, no, I don't want to read the Bible. I haven't got time for that. I couldn't be bothered. Well, by focusing on that one thing, and consistently winning the battle, that's a starting point. Then the prayer life, a starting point. Another discipline, obviously, is church attendance. Making sure that come Sunday, hell or high water, you find yourself in church. A discipline. A discipline. Now, of course, there's times when you can't do it, but generally speaking, that's where you and I should be found, fellowshipping with the saints. That's another discipline, you see. We've got to get these fundamentals right. All of them are involved with focusing our mind on God and on His Word. When we do that, the Holy Spirit is able to give us victory. Now, some people might say, oh, well, I know somebody who went to a crusade and God instantaneously delivered him from his addiction, whatever that addiction might be. And it does happen. And it can happen. I don't want to limit the Holy Spirit. But can I just say something? You and I can't sit around waiting for that to happen. God in his mercy does it, but to get it done, he has to use the faith of other people. And you see, if all the Christians are waiting for somebody else with the faith to get them set free, slowly but surely, the people with faith will disappear and be left with a whole lot of Christians that are waiting for somebody to help them. There is a time and a place where you and I have to take responsibility for our own lives, especially if we are seasoned Christians. If we have been Christians for any length of time, don't expect a sudden miracle. Especially if we have been taught the word, we should know that the miracle has already happened. Our job as mature Christians is to press in for ourselves. So please, it is a work of the Holy Spirit, but we have got to play our part. And this is part of that whole process. Once again, it grows. The next big discipline, and a very powerful one, by the way, in developing your and my willpower, that is our ability to focus on God, is the discipline of fasting. The Lord was harangued by the Pharisees, and they said to him, "Your disciples don't fast." His reply to them was, "How can they fast when the bridegroom is with them? But when the bridegroom has left, then they will fast." Well, for your information, our bridegroom has left. He's in heavenly places. And in a sense, when you and I fast, what we are saying is that we want our bridegroom to come back. And you see, when you and I fast, and fasting can include anything from limiting the amount of television or social media we involve ourselves with. Obviously, it does often involve food and drink. And you see, once again, we have to choose our battles wisely. The Lord started his ministry with a 40-day fast. My recommendation to anyone who's thinking about fasting, don't worry about 40 days right now. Leave that for much later. But you see, what can we do? You might say, "I have a busy schedule." Well, you can cut things out of your diet, things that perhaps you really like. And you see, there's a whole range of different fasts that we can go on and different time schemes. The point here is to choose a battle that you feel you can manage. Not one that's easy, but one that you and I can manage. And it might be one day a week. Just one day where you say, "From 6 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening, I'm not going to eat." Drink water, maybe tea. Make a decision before God. Say, "That's what I'm going to do." You see, and that's important. You stick with it. And don't expect it to be easy, because the enemy will come and try and change your mind. My son complained once. He said, "The one day that I fasted, my friends at school, who never before offered me food, came with the most delicious food." What was that? The enemy, you see, trying to get him off his fast. Now you might say, "Well, who cares if I just have a slice of cake now and then or whatever?" Well, you see, the point is, if you and I are fasting, our body says you need to eat. We listen to our body. Our will becomes weakened. You see? However, if we say, "No, I'm not going to do that," a small thing that we can do, then you see, our will automatically becomes a bit stronger. The person who has the weakest will can become a giant in the faith. And it has happened. But it doesn't happen overnight, and it doesn't happen just because the Holy Spirit comes on us and makes us a Samson in the Spirit. We have to take responsibility. Now please remember, what are we doing? We are exercising our will so that our mind can be focused on God. And when our mind is focused on God, we become aware of his presence, and his presence in our lives enables us, when the time comes where the pressure is on and we would normally blow a fuse, we're able to say, "No, I'm not going to do that." We win a battle, you see. And one battle leads to another battle. And as we have victory after victory, we become stronger and stronger people. Brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility. If you and I are weak-willed, we do not have a testimony. We might want to serve God, we might love God, and God will always love us. But you see, if we are like a reed that blows in the wind, we can't help other people. That's why the Lord said to Peter, "You were a reed," that was his name, "but I am going to turn you into Petrus, the rock." You see? And what he said then is, "I'm going to build my church." He wasn't talking about one day the apostolic anointing of Peter being the only apostolic anointing on the earth. He was talking about the strength of spirit that God needs to build his church. And that's what the fruit of the Holy Spirit are all about. Building character. Building people of substance that God can use. A foundation on which he can build. So that his church can emerge victorious. I trust that you and I will have the courage to work on our willpower. Work on our ability to control ourselves. So that, as the word says, in quietness and confidence will be our strength. Be blessed in the wonderful name of Yeshua. Amen.